I'm Gloria Baker, and I live at Holden. A little bit about myself, I have not always just been the secretary to the director at Holden Village. Before I came here, I worked quite extensively with congregations and church councils and district cabinets and things, and the areas of leadership skills development and conflict management and all kinds of search process with different churches who were going through the search process in vacancy situations. I did that mostly through the Leadership Skills Institute in Seattle, which is a Christian-based, non-ecumenical, but sponsored by the Episcopal Diocese of Olympia. And I was a trainer consultant for leadership development among people in the congregation as well as leadership in the congregations. I led retreats on all kinds of things regarding personal growth and leadership skills and group dynamics and communication skills, et cetera, the whole gamut of growth. Well, my pet is Ministry of the Laity, and that dovetails very well with the other stuff I've done, because you apply the same kinds of skills when you help people grow and learn about what Ministry of the Laity is all about.
Laura,
yes.
I'm familiar with the word laity.
Laity is the laos, L-A-O-S, lay people, as opposed to the kleros, which means clergy. So the clergy and the laity. Oddly enough, all people were called laity until someone decided that they would call the ordained people the clergy, the kleros. But and then they had a distinguishing factor. And from then on, people have not understood that by virtue of our baptism, we are all ministers. We're all called into ministry by virtue of our baptism. You are a royal priesthood. All people are part of the priesthood. Now, we are not very comfortable with that thought, are we? We don't think of ourselves as being at all comfortable with the word priest or minister. And yet that's exactly what we're called to be. We're ways the congregation deals with healing, all the programs and things that can happen through the church structure. Was that not what you dealt with? Was what the structure of the church can do for people in their process of healing? I'd like to give you some questions, and raise your hand if you think these are true as I go along. It's very informal. If you think this is true, just raise your hand. I usually refer to the church as in they are looking for Sunday school leaders, or they are always asking for money. Any true?
Do you think this is true for us personally, or true?
Yes,
for
it
everyone?
Has to be. It has to be for your own. All of today is your own personal. It's not what you think someone else.
I mean, you can hear other people say that.
Even if you don't say they. You mean I say the church,
mm-hmm.
other than myself.
Mm-hmm. Instead of,
right.
Yeah, okay.
So I say it's true for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's true
and
for
I
you.
I say it isn't, but I think sometimes it is. I'm sure it is sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The minister is the one who really is responsible for what goes on at the church.
I don't believe that, but I've often acted that way for different reasons.
If anyone feels a call to serve full time, he should be ordained. He or she should be ordained. You can tell when this was written. It wasn't written at Holden.
Right.
So, if anyone feels a call to serve full time, should they be ordained?
No.
The more meetings you go to, the better layperson you are. How many people do you know that live that way?
Come Jehovah's Witness.
The next time. I can't do quote unquote lay ministry because I have no training or leadership ability. I cannot do lay ministry because I have no training or leadership ability. I couldn't take an office in council or synod because all those ministers know so much more than I do. I could not take an office in council or district or any kind of, you know, greater church role because all those ministers know so much more than I do. I have to work all day, so I have no time for church work. The last time I was sick, the minister didn't come to call, so the church doesn't care about me anyway. Did you really? What was I was?
That was the expectation of me. No. That was part of the
ministry. Yeah.
You want the minister, but why not let it be? But
you know, the minister. How many of you? How many of you have fallen into that category? If you mark true even once, you are probably suffering from creeping clericalism and should see your New Testament at once. Let's focus on one of these for now. I can't do lay ministry because I have no training or leadership ability. What does that say?
Well, it seems like we always are looking for authorization or professionalism in our lives. We never quite make it unless we have X amount of degrees.
Mm-hmm. And that can block us to not try using what we already have.
Mm-hmm. Right. Let's do it. Yes, Leanna?
Still the model from the top and down rather than from below and up.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a real fear there that too, that you might, through lack of knowledge, say something that's damaging or heretical or, you know, could maybe cause harm to the people that you're working with through your own lack of knowledge and feeling inadequacy in theology or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Are you talking about doing lay ministry in terms of being hired by a congregation or just being a member of a congregation that yours?
Well, how do you think of it? When you hear the word lay ministry, do you think it's a professional category or a member of the church?
I think it is both. I just was wondering what you're talking about.
We're not talking about anything special.
That's what I think happens, though. The majority, probably the people in a congregation, will hear lay ministry and they think of it as not just everyone in the congregation, but someone set aside and appointed to a specific task within, and that makes us fearful then. But how could we do that? We don't have theological training or etc.
I know someone who is a lay minister. That's her professional title, but she doesn't have theological training. Mm-hmm. Paid position, but on the other hand, first I think of everyone in the congregation, what training? Masters in the congregation.
Mm-hmm. Any other comments on not being able to do lay ministry because I have no training or leadership ability?
All I can go is from what our minister said year after year, that he may be the one ordained and trained, but we've all been trained. He wasn't about ready to go out and minister everybody because it wasn't his particular position to be the leader. Well, he was more or less the leader of the congregation, but we are all leaders in the congregation because we're all chosen to be ministers of the word. And that he kept stressing that. He says, I'm not going to be out there all week long, and once a week is definitely not going to do it. And if we don't do it all week, why are you doing it? What are you doing here then? No. So he says, it's not only on Sunday, it's every day of the week that we have to be a minister. Just not him. as soon as we come into that setting and choose to be Christian, you are a minister of the word. I kept stressing that year after year, and that's what sticks in my mind all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it feels. A lay person is a, as a lay person, we're not that, don't have that piece of paper on the wall that say that says that we know what we know. We just know. And that we should be lay ministers.
You mentioned that your minister says that you are all trained for whatever.
Mm-hmm.
How do you want to explain how you are trained, or how we
just
is it an automatic
believing?
Believing.
You believe in the word. You know. There's classes that you can take to be more explicit, like evangelism courses, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Just your life and what you know of the word is enough to get you started.
1% of the ministers are ordained in this country. Only 1% of the ministers are ordained. If you consider all baptized people to be ministers. And of course, that's what the Bible says. Through baptism, you are made my people, my ministers. So, yes?
I was just thinking of the list we came up with yesterday as what we consider the church and what the church does. You hardly need to be ordained to do maybe just one, not even 1% of what we have listed.
Good point.
Interesting.
Good point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sanctuary and healthcare and counseling and ordination really have nothing to do with the majority of it.
Mm-hmm. Some people might also question in terms of age levels, because the confirmation and being instructed in the church and becoming a confirmed member of the congregation, you know, are you saying a junior high or high school age youth can't?
That they cannot be a minister?
Some people might think in terms of age. You know,
mm-hmm. What do you think?
Or that it should be the older ones in the congregation who are really doing the education and the ministry.
What do you think?
I don't think that's true.
Can you give me an example?
Well, I know high school girls, for example, who are teaching Sunday school in my home congregation, and I think that's rather a breakthrough. That wasn't happening in the And I think that says something about letting youth take on that responsibility for himself.
What's another example of youth as minister?
Youth minister?
Hmm? No, youth as a minister.
That's what I was saying, youth to youth ministry.
Youth, oh, excuse me, I didn't hear that.
Peer help.
Yeah, peer counseling, most important and crucial in any setting.
This sounds really silly, but if you ever watch Babies in Church and how people tend to play with babies and look at babies, and pretty soon they end up talking to those families of the babies afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So in a certain way, the babies are ministers in terms of making an encounter between the people.
Mm-hmm.
They should all get little collars.
On the board yesterday, I see nothing, no danger in anybody taking action, trying to help another person, but I see a whole lot of problems when it comes to people not having some kind of formal training, preaching, or spreading the word, you know, whatever that word is. We're not all agreed to what that word is, I guess. And that's
okay, you're talking about now the role of the ordained minister preaching the word.
Right.
Okay, that's 1 hour on Sunday morning. Right. And what is, if 1% of the people who are ministers are ordained, and 99% of the ministers of the country are lay, and also couple that with the sphere of influence of the 99% compared to the sphere of influence of the 1% ordained, imagine that for a minute. Where do the lay people scatter to after they leave church on Sunday morning? Where do they go?
To eat.
They eat.
You mean in a
broader sense. They go out
a little bit broader.
Family
jobs throughout the whole city. You take one city, you take one isolated church in a city where the people gather on Sunday morning for an hour of sermon. Wonderful. That is the rightful duty, of course, of the ordained clergy. That's what the whole ordination process is all about, partly, is to keep the word and sacrament ministry. But the 99%, where do they go? They go to jobs, they go to families. They are the ones who scatter everywhere. They are the ones who reach people. It's not that hour on Sunday morning or the limited ministry of the 1%. I mean, that is really shortchanging the gospel. Yes?
In our congregation, however, because we're very, very poor and can't afford pastors to come in when our pastor's on vacation, our laity do preach.
And it's wonderful.
Regularly. And it's a wonderful experience for the laity because they realize what John has to go through week after week after week. I mean, it takes me a month to prepare that sermon where, you know, John whips them out every week. It's also really refreshing to hear kind of the story from the other members of the congregation. So.
Right, thanks for bringing that in. At one of the training conferences I went to that was held in Chicago at the seminary, Bill Lesher, the president of the seminary, led a class for us on how to prepare a good sermon for lay people, how to do it. A third of it's supposed to be theological, a third of it's supposed to be relational, and a third of it's supposed to be applicable. How do you apply it? Three things, and if you include all three of those, the trouble with a lot of, I'm on the air, aren't I? Some who are so steeped in theology have a whole sermon on theology, and you never hear the application nor the relational. And that's a danger of too much of the intellectual in sermonizing. Yes?
And it's interesting how our congregations have changed in their feeling about that. Coming from overseas, we have been on furlough. June and I have been asked to speak at a lot of congregations and churches.
Mm-hmm.
And there are those where they wouldn't think, it used to be not very many, ever thought of having you be in the pulpit, even though it was the sermon for the Sunday. But because I was not an ordained pastor, it was just not very often. But in more recent years, more and more congregations are coming to feel that's all right for the lay person.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been a changing thing.
Yeah.
And of course, no, that part wouldn't be, I was going to say, the factor that it was a woman, too, but that's a separate factor.
Mm-hmm.
First time spoken in a congregation, a retired German pastor there came up afterwards and said, "Well, my, that was as good as any man."
That's great.
That's been a changing on the congregation part to accept the lay leadership and not think it was only the ordained pastor that it's
right. Yeah. And there, of course, there's always a danger in not having ordained persons also, because lay people don't have the background, usually, although there are some who have lots of theological training and are excellent theologians and have just not chosen the way of ordination. But they're excellent preachers, and there are many of those out there, too. I want to have us get a little more involved in this by doing an exercise, and each of you take two pieces of paper and a pencil.
Do we need two pieces or can we fold one in half?
Two pieces.
I hate to waste.
These were free. They're advertising from somewhere.
Talk about that. I can share experience. Todd was telling me about his dad. His dad loves to read and loves to study theology and philosophy. And so whenever the pastor's gone in their church, by popular demand, Todd's dad preaches in the church. And I think that's really interesting in that, you know, people aren't thinking you have to be a theologian or you have to have studied or, you know, under some regimented program. They really do learn a lot. I think that's really neat.
We're in the Lutheran church, we've been so much more leery of that. I mean, some churches, like the Methodist, they have this system of pastors for a long time.
And then come in restrictions on have a Eucharist. Mm-hmm.
Well,
it's not an ordained person.
But there we've changed a lot too.
We have, yeah, there are.
The pastors are there, you do elements and all. Of our congregation, so
mm-hmm. assisting, right. Mm-hmm.
And there's good clerical people, there's bad clerical people too, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. But I guess the danger I see is people like Ernest Angley, those characters. So I wouldn't want to be a part of that church.
I don't know that one.
Well, it's one of the guys that get up and everybody's going to hell, and you know, unless they belong to his church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that doesn't really do much either. Mm-hmm.
Let's,
in the Methodist Church, they have to go to a certain amount of training. You're going to be a lay minister, a lay preacher.
Yeah.
And you have to be certified for that. Mm-hmm. That's interesting, too.
Mm-hmm. This exercise is rather brief. I'd like you at the top of each sheet on both sides. So there are four sides, because there's two sides to each sheet, and there's two sheets, and two times two is four. I figured that out about myself. At the top of the sheet, I'd like you to put on each one something you did this past week. Very brief, three or four words, just so you know what
just
it is.
Repeat it four times.
No. Four different things.
Oh, four different
each things. Each top will have a different thing.
Something we did. Like
something you did.
Shower,
anything. Yeah, just do it to yourself, and you don't need to do it verbally.
No.
You're going to write it. Yes, anything that comes to your head, it doesn't matter. There's no right or wrong answers. This is just an exercise. Anything you did.
I don't remember this one.
On the top of each one, and there's four tops, because you're going to do it on both sides.
Yeah.
A few brief words about something you did this week. I da 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 da. And it would be four different things because you're going to put a different one on each sheet. What you did this week. Anything.
It was important.
And it had could didn't have to be, there's no value judgment. Just what pops into your mind. Four different things. After you finish that, draw a line under that, and the next item under it is in connection with the first. Who did you do it with? Or if you were alone, just put, I was alone. After that, the last one is the result or outcome or how you felt about what you did, whichever fits that particular thing best. How you felt, the result, or the outcome. You're the only person that's going to see these, so you don't have to elaborate or.
Result.
Because, you know, you did something and you did it with so and so, and I did it because, and. How did you feel afterward?
Thank you.
finished, I'd like you to pair up with the person next to you. This group will be three, because I think we're an odd number, 2, 4, 6, 8. Oh, all right. Sure, that'll be fine. Or you be the third in a group, maybe.
Yeah, that's fine.
Sure.
I'll be the third in this group.
Okay, and then the rest in twos. Want you to share, each of you with the other, your stories. And you can, you're free to go anywhere in this room to do it. It probably will be noisy if you try to do it right here. So feel free to go anywhere. And we'll take until 10 o'clock. It's about, almost about 12 to, right? So what did you discover about... that's the task orientation. What were some of the things you put down that you'd like to share with the total group? Any patterns? Did anything?
Yes, to
Vienna. I realized that I had written half of the things I've written down were things that I done because I really liked it and it was fun and recreational and refreshing and so on. And the other half were things that I done more out of a sense of discipline that I had to do this. Mm-hmm. And I felt good about getting it done, but it was not out of
sheer
desire
to do it. I see. What about the relation, what about with other people or whatever? Was some of it with others or?
Mostly with others, but, well, again, two of the things were alone, but it was related to, or having to do with community or friends.
Mm-hmm.
That was a balance.
A balance of?
I didn't mention work. I know what it's about.
No, you didn't.
Oh, interesting. Was all fun things?
Well, yeah.
At least positive things, not negative things. Like,
not the word negative, but it didn't jump out at me.
I didn't write down any. I went and cried for hours or something. Fun stuff.
What kinds of things surfaced immediately to put down, even that you did? What were the things that popped into your mind to put down?
The overnight with our group.
Going overnight.
Mm-hmm. Weaving.
What?
Weaving.
Uh huh.
Playing with the children.
Mm-hmm.
Sleeping.
Yeah. Waking up.
Yeah.
Good experiences with nature and with people.
Uh huh.
Good.
How about some others over here?
Too long for
me.
Two one-on-ones
with people. How about Alana?
Huh?
How about you?
Did you hear me? No. two with people, and it was kind of an interesting, with my people, I had a one-on-one and then a group situation, and all my things were by choice, except for one thing, which was weaving, which I chose to do, but I didn't choose to do it that quickly, you know. I mean, I did it because I wanted to make a gift, not because I really get a bang out of weaving.
But you won't tell the person you're giving that to.
No.
So you were doing it out of service for someone else.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
fun in a way. I mean, so everything I picked was positive, too.
Mm-hmm. Any surprises? Surprised at what you picked or how you felt about it? Were the feelings what you would have expected?
I was surprised I didn't mention work, or I didn't mention it overnight, or I didn't mention some of the other things I did. It surprised me to pick that I, you know, because we had to do it so quick, you just throw something quick, and I'm surprised I picked the things I did.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I don't write letters very much, so while I'm here, writing home is a priority to at least be writing home. Mm-hmm. I mean, and do others, but
how do you feel about that? And since you don't usually do it or like to, especially.
And what I noticed was how quickly I wrote. I felt good about it.
Oh, good.
That was the result of it. So that's
what made you feel good about it.
Well, that I got it done because,
it is over.
But I, for my why, I wrote that I needed and wanted to. There was something.
The connection with home, so family. What does this have to do with ministry?
Sharing
sometimes
with them.
When we're alone, things that we did alone is maybe our own ministry to ourselves.
Ministry to self.
And when we do it with one other person, it's a more personal thing. When we do it with more people, it's more of a community and bigger sharing that maybe not doesn't have to be so serious. Like laying out one thing that I had for laying out in the song was to be together with people. To
sort of really fellowship like rather than.
Yeah.
Is that what you'd call that?
To be just
together in community. What other ministries can you identify out of your four stories?
How powerful our moods are.
How is that ministry?
Well, moods color our thinking at the time. It colors our ministry, our hope, our despair, which we relate to other people.
Okay, you discovered something about your personality, it sounds like. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, personality, I think, is ministry, too. I don't see how you can separate our personalities from our ministry.
No, they do certainly affect our ministry and what we do. What kind of ministries did you identify? For instance, what are some of the things you did?
Well, I did half the things was about just purely biological, just waking up and eating. But there...
Okay, I'd say that would sort of be ministry to yourself, then, wouldn't it?
Right.
What other?
By reading a book. And injustice.
Okay. Ministry to self again, for educational or learning experience.
Mm-hmm.
What other?
Praying.
Another one for self, right?
Mm-hmm. So they're basically all self. So.
Mm-hmm.
It talks of.
Does that say anything about you?
Oh, it does. It does. It says things I don't like about me. So, which is
like what? For instance.
Being so wrapped up in the self, for one.
Oh.
Another thing.
Does that mean that? Might that not mean that it's a time when you need to spend some
yeah,
time ministering to yourself?
But,
does that mean you're wrapped up in yourself? You're kind of responding to a real important need.
Yeah, this Holden's
yeah.
Village has been that to me.
Yeah.
But it also makes you realize there's other parts of Holden Village I'm missing out on, not participating in. Maybe I can't this time. But that says something about me, to myself.
I'm thinking like. Things like your prayers, I don't know
mm-hmm.
what they were, but they might very well be for others as well. Like, or a book that you read, I know a lot of what you've read and are anxious
yeah.
to share with others.
Thank you for that. Yeah, and I think just the mood right now that I'm in has made me think of these certain aspects
mm-hmm.
of myself. So that's how it
mm-hmm.
saying the mood has a lot
mm-hmm.
to do with it. If I was on an upswing
mm-hmm.
more, I don't think I am today. I think
mm-hmm.
if I was on the upswing, I would pick up different things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that just
good point.
Reminds me how
depends
powerful.
Depends on how we are today, doesn't it? What we pick out.
Right.
Good point.
So how powerful
mm-hmm.
that can be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Others, what did you see? Can you identify what you did as ministry?
I think I responded to a need, developed relationships, had a chance to hear and be heard, expressed caring and love, and got that all returned.
So you had listening?
Uh-huh.
You said one, the caring one?
Yeah, I was able to express caring and love, was able to get that expressed.
What was that experience? Can you tell the group?
With a person.
How? What was the first line of that particular story?
Walking her in front.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Responding to a need.
Okay. Caring, listening, being together. What's the
love,
most part? How?
Express love.
Expressing. Could that be part of caring?
Yeah.
Okay.
Responding to
I have been to
together, listening, caring, responding to a need. That's part of ministry.
To self, is that for self or for your own need or for someone else's?
Someone else's.
So would that be caring?
Well, it could be different. I mean, you can, I think it's two different things.
Okay, responding to another's need.
Yeah. I just said developing relationship.
Okay, relationship. Okay. How's that?
It's good. I mean, those are some things that don't.
Okay. How about other experiences? Can you relate them as ministry that aren't?
Work.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Able to be here and to offer.
Can't hear you.
To be here and to offer something for the village.
Sharing oneself.
Yeah.
And yes.
The time, the 6 hours a day.
Volunteering. Okay, what's the gift? What's the ministry? Sharing talents,
yeah.
Right? Would you call it that? To make it a little broad?
And giving other people enjoyment, like following up on her thing. Her music, not only does she share her talents for the need of Vespers, but everybody gets a chance to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
And get to know a little bit.
That's the benefit of sharing talents, is other people get to enjoy it. Or not enjoy it, as the talent may be. The assumption is people will enjoy the talent.
Another one was to share a walk I took with, or what's called, she was saying, just sharing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Being present.
Sort of what Alana was doing. It's easy around here, isn't it, to walk?
Yeah, and it wasn't even, there wasn't even a particular need, but just being present.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Presence?
Yeah.
Ministry is certainly presence, isn't it?
That's kind of what I meant, but yeah.
With the writing, it's the sharing of experiences that it helps to mm-hmm. share with the family.
It's a communication, the ministry of.
And then it helps me because they know better, or mm-hmm. I'm learning more where I'm coming from.
Right. Extremely important, especially in an isolated area like this. But at home, that could be a telephone call, checking in, and just being a friend. How about others from your own stories?
Praying. That's from, I wrote down a prayer, but every day I spend some time with my parents at home at
mm-hmm.
2 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
which is 11 o'clock at home,
mm-hmm.
and that's the time that I know that they spend time praying, mm-hmm. and even if I work, I think about them and I pray silently to
mm-hmm.
myself, and
mm-hmm.
it's a way to be together.
Extremely important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm impressed with your discipline for that.
It's not a
I'm not well disciplined in my prayer life.
2 o'clock.
Others. Okay, let's shift briefly to the experience itself of going off with someone else and sharing your stories. What was that like for you? I know you've had a lot of days together and have probably had many, many conversations with each other. This is not like an event where you've come together for the very first time. But how was it? How did that seem? And were there some discoveries that you didn't know about the other person in the meantime? Was it a comfortable thing to do? How was it? Were you aware of your listening skills?
Mm-hmm.
Or did you talk too much?
Lack of.
You want to share that with the group?
Oh. Yeah. I made a special effort to let Ron go first. Uh-huh. So that, because I know myself, I talk a lot mm-hmm. about myself too. And so Ron did go first before, you know, and I did make a special effort to say, is that, are you finished, Ron? So I did try to listen very hard.
Uh huh. Good.
So,
and then he kept on saying, hurry up.
Yeah,
yeah. Others, how was it?
I enjoyed talking with Yenna because I felt comfortable, but we haven't spent a whole lot of time together, so I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. Did you find it easy to listen, or were you in a hurry to talk, or anything like that going on?
Or is this person popping in and I was saying, 5 minutes, 10 seconds.